They're guys. They do magic. They are the Magic Guys.
Oh, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 165 of the Magic Guys, where we bring our expertise and knowledge and whimsicalness to answer your questions, hang out, and be cool people. To my left, I have Nick Kay.
Welcome to the show, friends.
And down below, we've got Doug Kahn.
Hey, y'all.
And I'm Josh Nobito. What's up, everyone? Oh, that's the wrong sound tune. Oh, well, we're rolling with it now.
I don't know. That was fine.
That's true. The whimsicalness of the rim shot.
The rim shot blows it out. Like a magic trick. If you don't say nothing, they don't know. Just roll with it, Josh. Just keep going, man. No one will notice.
That's true. Yes, and for everything. What's up? What's going on with you, Nick? And we were just in a stream. This is our second stream today. We're so productive. Luckily, it's because Doug let us on his live.
Well, I'm over here trying new things. I think that's the key to success. Going places you've never gone before to mine for gold nuggets and such. So thank you for joining me on the impromptu vertical live stream. We did it.
How interesting. For those listening, YouTube offers vertical format live streaming now, and we were able to do it in this StreamYard software studio. So you can have a professional live stream vertical. That opens up a lot of possibilities.
Yeah, we were all there chatting. I messed up the second stack. I should have had us all nicely stacked there, but the first, you know, the potential is strong, and even more so maybe for two people, it's more reasonable, and you do like, it's almost an amigo situation if you want to perform some magic that way. And yeah, like I was saying pre-show, the algorithms loving these vertical streams. My numbers are double, and I bet if it's two people doing magic, it's going to be even higher than that.
So
I'll be saying that point.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
I was just saying, ultimately, it's like, it's all with the intention of just bringing the best possible experience we can to you guys, the listeners. And speaking of the listeners, let's have a little hey to everyone in the chat. We have Randall, Tim, Gutbuster Mike, Chris. We have Johnny Prentice, Bob Possible, our good friend, the Christian magician, Scotty P. Dragotier, you're sending some amazing questions last week. Good to see you guys all here.
Yeah, nice.
It's a good group of Magi misfits. It's been a pleasure getting to know a lot of these people personally on the Discord and such.
How wild is Discord? You know, we used to use it in the beginning at the Magic Guys, stopped for a while because, you know, we're older, and I'm older and don't use Discord, although I can't say that because Doug is a beast with it. So that doesn't make sense.
I still feel I'm learning and don't even understand the full potential of this amazing platform. It's crazy out there on the Discord.
Even in just the last month of us using it, you know, is growing this community so much more. And the link to it is in the description if you're interested. But it's basically a place we can chat, and we have jam sessions in there. Fellow Magic Guys can just go in there at any point and start their own jams, I believe. And it's a whole world of fun. But speaking of which, I put a call out in the Discord that send us in some, you know, some voice messages of what you're up to. And I love it every week. People are sending them in now more and more. It's beautiful. And this first one comes from Thomas Hadson again from Sydney, fellow Sydney boy. Let's see what Thomas has for us today.
Hey guys, Thomas from Sydney here. Now, my question really briefly for you this morning is, how do we feel when spectators touch the magicians during performances? Do you guys feel awkward? How do we get out of that situation? Anyway, thank you guys. Have a wonderful day.
Great question, Thomas. And you always ask great questions, so thank you so much for sending that through. People will touch. They get that. They kind of forget that we're people, the audience. You know what I mean? I try to treat it with humor, and what I say politely to folks is, I'll go, oh, magicians, we're a little like strippers. Looky, no touchy.
That's a good one. We are like strippers, yeah. Actually. We make, like, you know, great money in a very short amount of time when we're there.
I have spent the better part of 30 years has been spent developing the self-defense you see before you for such touching. The gut, the balding, you know, the scarred face. No problem.
I got to tell you, my friends, Chris and Mike, who do the Naked Magician show, get it the worst.
I bet they got problems.
They do a meet and greet where people come and get photos while they're naked. They're literally just holding a top hat over their junk. And by the end of their night, by the end of the photos, their butts are so red from women smacking them to get the photo with them. It's hilarious.
That's a commitment, man. That's an energy suck too. I bet they go home and just melt after a night like that, giving all that energy out and naked.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure in the early days they would use that to their advantage though. Like they wouldn't go home.
They're not going home alone.
Disappointed. But certainly, you know, once their show matured and it was more of a like production show and like serious, then it probably became a little bit more, oh gosh, here we go again. Let me warm up the cheeks. But in all seriousness,
is that show coming back to a stage, The Naked Magicians?
Yeah, things are in works for them, but it might not be actually them. But they are still producing that show for sure. But
one of the fellows works with you in the theater, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Christopher Wayne. And it's so funny because you can tell the people that come to our show that recognize him from The Naked Magicians. And that's always funny because they're not always with company that they can tell, oh yeah, I've seen him naked doing magic, because they're there with their family or whatever. It's quite funny. In all seriousness, for me, corporate gigs, I don't get like touched too much, but it's always the sleeves. It's always they do a quick bicep squeeze and they do like a this. And yeah, my quick line is, which I'm sure a million people use, is, hey, touching costs extra. But, and then I move on, you know, and gets a laugh. And then every now and then someone will be like, oh, we'll pay. And I'm like, see me after, you know, just a quick witted get.
What a great line. Get out Josh of there. Morbido with the professional wit. Love it.
Yeah. So essentially it just plays out like I'm, you know, the card's vanished. Like, oh, where'd it go? I'm like, hey, touching costs extra, but it's okay. And then we move on and then they laugh and now we're back into swing of things.
Yeah.
Is that a problem with busking? Like I know we talked about heckling last week, but people maybe grabbing props would be just as annoying.
Yeah, for sure that, you know, and there's the poorly minded children who just have no social grace at all that will grab your crap. It always amazes me that the parents don't reel them in. They're just like, well, there goes Billy digging through the magician's crap. There you go. You're like, you're not going to stop your kid from grabbing my, no. Okay. Then that's what the wand's for. Whack.
That is pretty wild. Billy.
I love that line where it's like, it's not a wand, it's a stick. I'm not a fairy. And you,
so, you know, my line is this: I don't play with your stuff. You know, if it's a kid like that, I'd be like, hey, Billy, I don't play with your stuff. You know, I try and keep it on their level if it's the youngsters. There's my line.
Yeah. Beautiful. So I guess the takeaway from this is that, like, treat it with kindness and also appreciate a lot of the audiences, for the most part, always need to be educated. A lot of people don't know how to experience magic or experience theater or anything of that nature. So there's nothing wrong with talking people how they need to be act, you know, and walk them through this process of just sort of like looky no touchy, or hey, you know, and if they, you know, like, no, okay, I go, please stop touching. Honestly, like go away. Like, even if there's nothing wrong with saying, like, I don't like being touched. Could you not please? Like, you say it politely and then sort of go, like, not to the point where, like, touch me again, I'll cut you. Like, you're not going to do that. But just, there's nothing wrong with educating your audience and, like, I don't know if what you think you know about, like, theater or what you think about entertainment, but, like, you need to not touch, please. Like, it's okay to take it to that place and do a trick and ask people to say, like, oh, and then you clap, you know, because I got a new line now that I'm doing a lot where I'm going, like, was your card the four of hearts? Yes. Are you going to clap? Oh, and they start clapping, you know, like, it's because people like 4 hours ago, yeah, and they're just dumbstruck. But, like, you want this reaction. So the takeaway is educate them and walk them through how they need to behave.
What about this one? Because I've had this one, and I'm sure you guys have too, guessing, because I've had it. Inebriated women of age. So
yeah, they're maybe the more handsier ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The mature and motivated are a little bit more handsier. And
good thing nothing, you have pants on, you go home with a red butt.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with saying to them that, you know, like, hey, just, I'm glad we're all having a great time, but politely, I need you guys to do this, as in like, don't touch me or please behave yourselves, or I need you to stay in your seats, whatever behavior needs to be corrected, say, I need you to insert corrective behavior, or we're going to need to end this interaction.
Yeah. Gets a little,
yeah,
a little dicey.
Well, yeah.
I hope that helps. Good question though. Good question. Next one we have is from our listener, Seth. And I did pre-listen to this. This is partly advice, partly story. Let's listen.
Okay.
Hope y'all are doing well. Today I've got part gig story, part what would you do, I guess. I'm going to preface this by saying I keep Brave in my wallet set for the Red Jacks. Okay, so I was doing a variety show. There's this local variety show where they have featured acts, and in between the featured acts, there's like open stage opportunity. So I went in to do the open stage stuff, decided to do Invisible Deck. The card we eventually landed on was the Jack of Hearts. So I did that reveal. And then I was thinking, would it be redundant if I also pulled Boyve out and showed the Jack of Hearts that way too? Or would that be like even more of a mind-blowing situation? I decided not to go for it, but I'm wondering if I missed out on an opportunity there. Hmm. And also, they messaged me afterwards, and I'm going to be a featured act this week, so that's exciting too. But anyway, cheers.
Hey. Snuck that, in that little win there.
That's why you devil, do you, Seth. Things. You get out there and get those reps in, man, and then pretty soon people like you.
Yeah.
Congratulations on winning.
That's awesome, man. That's the main thing. And my outlook on that is, with the Brainwave thing, the extra reveal, you just got to try it. Like, we can say all day what we think the layman will enjoy, but I'm often surprised what they enjoy. Sometimes it is the kicker that I wouldn't have thought even makes sense, but they do enjoy. Or maybe it would have dragged on a little, but I think it's a case of you have to actually try it and see if it works. So just wait until... Probably take 10 years for another person to name Jack of Hearts when you also have Brainwave in your pocket. But yeah, that's my thought. But I think also, like, a reveal should always get bigger and bigger. Like, you can't go from a big reveal to a smaller reveal straight after it, I guess, is the unless logical thing. But
unless you're David Copperfield. If you're David Copperfield, you could do B-Wave after your show. I've told this story where after the show, he's doing B-Wave. I've done lottery predictions on license plates. I've sent you home with a poster of the story of your wildest dreams. And, you know, I've predicted everyone's show experience in an email. But when you come see me backstage, it's a 1 in 4.
Mm.
It's anticlimactic, yeah. Dave. We love you, but I'm going to call you out next time I see you. Soon as I ever get that backstage experience again.
Yeah. Look, you know, that's the thing is, the reason why these sort of variety nights and stuff exist is because they do give us opportunities to actually try things and to fool around and see how far we can push the envelope. I like the idea of sort of revealing things, like compounding in such a, like, a ridiculous way, you know, like, really? I have this routine, which I retired about a couple of years ago now, but it was like this dick man routine where, like, yeah. It's a mixture of confab and this and that, and it compounds to the point where it's like, not only did I predict the correct color match coloring in prediction and the confab, I also had a comic book that predicted everything correctly. And not only that, I'm wearing the superhero outfit. Like, I just keep compounding it again and again and again and again and again. So, like, I like those. They're fun for a stage show, but give yourself permission to give it a try because it's not an awful idea. So just, yeah, give yourself permission to give it a try. I thankfully have a lot of outlets here in this part of town where we try things all the time. And we get feedback from like professional theater folk who go like, oh, I like this, or maybe mind your language here, or maybe say it this way, or whatever it might be. So give it a try.
Here's how I've been doing the prediction. I just put this in my bag last week. Okay. So you hold up one card and you say, name any card. Nick K, you can do this.
The Four of Hearts.
Do the one we did pre-show.
The Ace of Spades.
I stole that line from JB Evans. No, there it is. Four hearts. It's right there next to the three. So this is an effect that builds suspense, gets a little drama, has a little blow off, and now we go to the B wave or the brain wave and bring it home with something like that. This is also a great way to get someone to name a card, which can be a sticky moment in a situation. Sometimes people don't like saying cards, you know, but if you commit yourself with one, you know, when they name it, boom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'll share a little thing I do is when I was learning stack work, I used to have trouble getting to the seven of hearts. It was in just a weird position. So what I would do in case someone names it at a gig is I would just take a card, seven of hearts, I would tear off the indice part and I would put it behind the lapel pin of my jacket. So when you open, so I have So I have a pin in my jacket, a spade, but if I flip it over, you can see the other side of it and I would have the seven of hearts there. So I'm doing an effect where the audience is holding the deck, but if they say seven of hearts, I just started going, that's so interesting because that's also my favorite card, so much so that I always keep it with me and I show it, effect over. They freak out like I've just done the best thing ever because they're none the wiser. But by just having it there in case, kind of like how you just so happen to have the B wave, got me out of a lot of sticky situations when I was still learning how to work with this particular effect. So sometimes you can do that, just be bold, because being bold is where the real magic can happen, where stuff will happen that you couldn't actually plan to have happen, right?
And like being bold is even better.
I don't know. I'm over here thinking you could come up with a dozen outs around your body. Yeah.
Right.
Equivoke to the high cards. And then now it's any high card. Oh, you name that one. Oh, you name that one. Oh, you name that one. It's on my glasses. Oh, it's on my watch. It's in my shoe. It's in my fly. It's in my pocket, in my wallet, you know.
Yep. And then you have a little crib sheet. So when they name the card, you're like, oh, yep, it's going to be here. Well, didn't Penn and Teller do that on the beach? They had 52 reveals set up around the beach.
Mm, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. And it works. It works. But so that's something I did anyway. So that if that happened, then I would act like that is the outcome that I was planning for.
Yeah.
And it gets the reaction. Thomas Conger. Tommy, we got you here with a speak pipe, my friend. Let's see what he's got. Our brilliant painting artist. Let's check it out.
Hey, what's up, the magic guys? Longtime listener, first time caller. Just kidding. I have a question for you guys. This is Thomas Conger. I'm planning a trip to Vegas possibly in November, and I'd like to do a trick where I would leave like a card somewhere in their house or their studio, wherever we meet at. And then when I come back to Cleveland months later or whatever, I'll go live on stream with them. And I'll perform a trick, and the trick will end up, you know, in their house a month later or whatever. I was wondering what type of trick that is easy to do that I could possibly knock out of the park easily when I do this, because this will be my first time trying to pull something like this off. So thank you. I appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. The community is awesome. And I hope to produce magic and entertain you guys with what I can do sometime in the near future. I'm just working with the kinks of, you know, filming and getting a better camera and better lighting and working with all that cool stuff. But anyways, thank you guys. I'm out of here.
I love it, man. I love it. I love it. All right. I'm sure we all got notes on here. So let's go with you first, Nick.
Okay. So firstly, thanks for sending through the question. We hung out on the Discord last week. Super cool guy, Thomas. Thanks for sending that through. Now, here's the thing. I would, if they have books, I would put it in between the pages of a book and remember where I put that, page 20 or whatever it might be. And then I would try and do an effect, like if I was going to do it on a video call afterwards or something of that nature, I'd say like, I got something I'm working on. It's kind of gnarly. Let's try something fun. And then you can like do just a series of forces that lead them down the garden path to choose the book. So it could be the type of thing where it's like, I have my bookshelf here. I just want you to say stop. And they go, stop. You're right here. And you just point and you go, boom. This is Little Women. Do you have this book? I do have this book. Oh, that's really cool. Let's just try something fun. I place a card in here. Or you can say like, now let's choose a card. They say, stop. You go, I'm going to leave it here on my thing. And then I go like, I need two more cards now. Then you force like two tens. And it's like, we add these together. What do we get? 20. Terrific. So we have 20 and this. So go to page 20 of your book. See what you find, you know, and then it's in there. Or you can say like, or you could put it in your book, give it a snap and then show it's gone. like it's totally vanished from the book, and then go, now look inside your book. There's a few ways you can dissect this, but
I want to do this. I want to have a page from their book vanish and appear in my house. So now,
grab a
book off your shelf, pick a number, and now that page is in my house.
Oh, the Pegasus page plot.
Yes,
holy.
The Pegasus page.
Now we're talking. Arthur have something Emerson. From their house go back.
Yeah.
Doug, holy
and then
crap.
Maybe you go both ways. I'm curious of your thoughts on the card trick, Josh, because I think you do the method I'm thinking of. Do you have an idea for the card trick?
Which card trick? What plot
Making
are we talking
the,
about?
Like if you preset a card to be revealed, like what would be the avenue to take for the reveal?
Gotcha. So Thomas mentioned they have lots of comic books. So I love where Nick was going with that. Look, you could do a one card where you sign it and maybe write note on it. Like it's like you sign it and then you like, you know, enjoy the card or something and you take a photo of it. So you remember how to exactly duplicate that again when you're doing the live stream. Find somewhere that's, exactly. Find somewhere it could live and place it there. Like find somewhere that isn't accessed a lot. Like, I don't know, on top of a statue or bookcase or something, or you have to be a little bit creative, but behind the fridge, I don't know, behind the wall of the fridge. So you find the place, but then, so you can be on stream, do a trick with them. And then before you give it to it, be like, oh, you know what? You can have this. Let me sign it for you. I'm going to post it to you, write a note. And then actually, you know what would be better?
Yeah.
That could be cool.
Or if you plan on filming this, right? And you're saying like, I'm gonna try to capture this on phone, and then you can go like, you just walk around the house. I go, when I was at your place, you know, we had really good lighting. This place in your study, can you go sit in your study for a sec? Perfect. And like, go up against that picture frame. That's perfect.
Yeah, I reckon you could.
And then you lead in, and then you start the recording. Do the whole shtick. You can have a something or other. Do your vanish, right? And then you can go look at the picture frame behind you, and they can look behind the picture frame, pull one card out and show.
Yeah. Or you could, if you want it to be really unseen with the picture frame idea, just do angle zero. So you're only hiding one quarter of a piece.
That was the idea I had. This is what I was waiting for someone else to say. Now I don't have to say my idea. That's
Yeah. Cause then you can be on the stream, have it vanish, and then go like, say, stop. Even, what am I pointing to there? Oh, the picture? Okay.
You'd probably do like a quarter of the card versus just the little bit. So make it a little bigger so they could bring it up to the screen and verify.
Yeah.
And one last idea, only because I know Thomas is doing a lot of stuff with Rubik's Cubes right now. You could take them a Rubik's Cube in bottle. Like you could have one made, cube in bottle with a sequence that you know how to replicate. Give it to them as a gift, and then on the stream you could do some Rubik's Cube work and then reveal that you've matched the cube that they have in their house as well. Could be something.
Or not. And maybe the corner is inside the cube. They open it up and
smash the bottle. Quick, smash it.
you could peel that middle one off, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, true. Or another easy thing is you could gift them a deck of cards, and there's a good chance they're not going to use it like until you're on the stream anyway. So you could have something ready to go, some kind of routine, do as I do or something like that.
If you can do something to the box, to the card, but keep it in its factory seals.
Card and put the corner in between the split card. And it's, then you force this one and you have them rip the card in half. And inside there is a index of another card. What?
Yeah, that's an effect I do, and it's the best idea. And it's so easy to do because when you split the card, you don't have to split it all the way. You just split it enough to put the card up again. So it matches together perfectly every time. Because when you do a full split and trying to align it again, it's just laborious.
Yeah, baby. Good stuff.
Yeah.
I like what's happening. I like the Pegasus page idea. I like the angle zero. I like the book. And I like, because John Armstrong, the reason I mentioned the forged writing, John Armstrong does a really cool effect of a sign. He does a card under spectator's watch. But then when the effect's over, they go back to the audience. He goes, you know what? You can keep this, but let me sign it for you. And then he vanishes it again. And then he goes, check under your watch again. And now it's there and signed. But doing that from here to, from Colorado, did he say? Or wherever, to Vegas? That's pretty dope. Also, don't go in November. Go in August, because that's when we're going to be at Magic Live.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, Thomas, that you got a lot of time to work on it. We do have our community you can lean upon. We have our post and roast. You can talk with us, jam with us. I'm sure we'll talk about this a whole bunch more times before you actually execute it. And so please, like, share your thoughts. We can hang out in Discord. We're more than happy to help.
I think this is going to be a mini story of the Magic Guys that we follow. Because now we're all in, like, we're all, I'm invested now. And I think we're all going to be invested leading up until this point. So you're going to have to do it.
But great question. Thanks for sending it through, Thomas.
Heck yeah. Let's switch gears a little bit, because the title and thumbnail of this episode was quite funny. We called it Nick, Please Explain. I'm scrolling on Facebook. I come across some very funny looking pictures of Nick. And I'm like, bro, what kind of gigs are you getting? You know, is this what a professional magician in Melbourne looks like? But of course, it's not his everyday type of events. But yeah. Do we just show them some footage first, or do we...
Let me preface this before we begin. So okay. I've been performing in a series of shows past week called Magic Sports. And effectively what this is, it's Whose Line Is It Anyway, but with magic. And so we play a series of games for our audience in which we have a whole bunch of theater sports-based challenges. And so you would have seen, if you looked at the socials, surrounding the Laneway Theater, where we performed these shows, myself and some other amazing performers in really interesting, comparable situations. So that's the context of it. So it's effectively doing improv magic while doing improv theater mixed together. So we'll give it more context when we sort of scope out this next bit of footage, but that's the base we have to go off. Let's have a look at what we...
We'll start with a short clip. Yeah, we'll start with this short clip. So this just looks, this Nick just looks like a badass doing this, but let me just play this and then Nick can explain what's going on.
Okay. Not that one. That one.
Doing good, boys. Doing good.
So, you know, the radiation is quite high in Melbourne. So that's actually a pretty normal thing to wear those alfoil hats.
Standard EDC headwear.
For those listening, what you just saw was me doing a particular type of card trick in which my entire face was wrapped up in tin foil. And that was one of the challenges of this particular effect that we had to do. Now, in this game, what we were challenged to do, It was a duet, so I had to perform it alongside a magician, which I was performing alongside a good friend, Josh Staley. And we had to do this routine, come up with a routine that we could do together, but both do it blindfolded. And so we ended up doing a multiple card select, but entirely, it's tough, isn't it, Josh? Yeah, but entirely blindfolded. And so what we did was we had four selections, which all happened to be the four aces. They were then put back in the deck, shuffled, and then we found those cards. So that was quite challenging to do that. So entirely blindfolded. I mean, hand to God, I couldn't see a single thing or barely breathe out of that mask because they shoved the tinfoil up my nostrils.
Oh, no.
And so what we did was we had the selections done, and then we went taking turn on finding each selection for the effect. But it's just one of those great challenges. In fact, one of the nights we had to do a card trick together, both Josh and I, but I was the right hand and he was the left hand. And so we had to perform with our arms around each other, doing a riffle shuffle where he was the left and I was the right. And we had to try and do like an entire trick. So it's one of the fun games we played. So it's really humbling, man. Like, you might think you're a great act and all, but do magic sports and you're like, this is very humbling. Like, this is quite a challenge.
How many magi are on hand for this event?
So there is three of us, depending on each night that we circulate through each magician. I was performing, I think in the next clip you'll see, alongside one of the greatest guys in Melbourne, I think, who's Liam Jumpitz, or as we call him LJ. And this is all, you know, basically created and mediated by the amazing Tim Ellis, who has, who's an amazing creator and basically created the Magic Sports game. And if you guys ever want to scope it out, there is like, we have some documentation on it and you can actually see what the games are like. Extremely challenging stuff.
He's been doing this for a while now that you mentioned Tim's name and Magic Sports. I can recall him doing this at conventions, I guess, in the U.S. probably 20 years ago, right? Is it that? Yeah.
Yeah, it's been around a very long time. So, for example, one of the games that kind of sparked this is a game called Drunk Tech. And what it was based around is if you have a routine that you perform to music, okay, as in like just purely a music act. So think of something beautiful like a Hunjin Kim beautiful card manipulation, which is done to the music and perfectly choreographed. Then all of a sudden you go do the very same act, but it's a totally different song. And now you've got to perform your act to a song you either don't even know or never rehearsed to. And you've got to do it on the spot with that level of creativity. So it's quite fun to do that. And that was out of, what's his name from Adelaide? The Unusualist? What's his name?
Oh, Raymond Crowe.
Raymond Crowe, yeah. So that happened with Raymond Crowe because back in the day, we didn't have CDs and MP3 players. We had these little cassette tapes. And what had happened was Raymond Crowe had done his act and they did the rehearsal, but the tech failed to rewind the tape. And as a result, he had to perform the very same act to the next song on the tape. And that's where Drunk Tech was born out of.
Yikes. And as a true professional, you keep going.
Yeah.
let's play the next clip. It's I haven't watched its entirety, but it's a vertical video. So you'll still see us in the background, but we'll be muted. But I'll leave Nick to decide when to stop the video. But so we won't play any context. Just know that whatever's happening is like improv in the moment. I guess that's the best way to lead into it. Here we go.
And already two bags already.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, they're lovely.
They're lovely, aren't they?
I am.
They're good.
Good. On my lips, they burn more.
Do you want a drink?
One fluffy bunny.
Do you want a drink?
Nothing went in. And I know. Wow, that fluffy. Is that even on? That's really nice. Oh, look at that. My eyes are being peered. Would you like a chip?
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful.
Well, you have a glory.
They've been there. Oh. That is spicy, man.
So what's happening in this effect, guys, is there is this enormous jacket that's effectively like four or five sizes too big. And what's happening is I'm inside it, but I can't use my arms. There is another magician behind me with his arms going through the sleeves and performing the effect. And there's a whole bunch of games we play with this. In this game, it was called Magic Shop. And I'm basically the Magic Shop owner. There is a box full of like random props. And then Tim Ellis would come in and he would say, oh, what kind of amazing new products do you have? And the box is just filled with junk, like just weird stuff that I had to like make up with magic on the spot. You know what I mean? So I'm the voice of this situation, but behind me is LJ with his arms through the jacket sleeves performing all the magic. And so we're working as a team, but I'm the one communicating it all. What made this even more difficult is that Tim went out before the show and bought these blisteringly hot, spicy chips.
I was wondering if those were the spicy Cheetos.
They were the spicy-ass Cheetos. And so during the whole routine, he's shoveling these spicy chips into my mouth.
Oh,
so my mouth
no.
Fire while I'm trying to perform and be funny and be entertaining all at the same time. So it's like one of the really fun, creative bits that you do in this. So it's a really fun show to be a part of. In fact, one of our listeners, Rob, was at the show who was kind enough to take all this video. Thank you so much for doing that, Rob. We appreciate you. He basically just hit me up and said, I had to fly in last minute. Is there anything cool going on? And I said, come around. So I got him tickets to the show and he scoped it out. But one of the most fun things that we do is before the show, as the show's actually beginning, and what we do is we have a giant bucket, and we tell the audience, you can dump items in there. And at the end of the show, we're going to need to create a whole new magic trick with anything you dump in there. So we did this for every night, but there's one night in particular that was really funny. On the last night, we're not allowed to look in the bucket, but three of us have to reach in, grab something, And whatever we grab is what we got to perform with. And the last night we had eyebrow cutters, which are tiny little scissors with a comb on them that you use to trim the length of your eyebrows. As well as that, there was like the stick of an ice cream, of a Magnum ice cream. You know what I'm talking about? Just like a little kind of stick. And then there was also a slap bracelet. Like, you know those stupid things?
Sure.
And then you slap them on your arm and they go, and they snap around your arm?
Yep.
So we had those three items and we had to come up with a routine using those three items.
Hmm.
So what we came up with was we decided to use the scissors to cut stuff. I was like, okay, the scissors, they cut, they do all kinds of stuff. Okay, cool. Let's do a routine where we use a piece of rope to emulate someone's hair. And we say, all these are beauty products. They're all beauty products. What if you accidentally ever cut your hair and wished, oh, I wish I didn't cut it. How could I repair it? And the idea was, is that we cut a piece of rope emulating hair. I used the stick like this hair repair cream. And I made this cup and I wrote hair repair on it, you know, and I just pretend to take out some stuff and then repair the rope. And then we did a cut and restored rope based around this whole hair repair idea. And then outside of that, we had the slap bracelet. And I was like, this isn't a slap bracelet. It's an amazing piece of waxing technology. And then what I did was I had this slap bracelet and I just sort of went around my body, like up and down my arms and my legs. And I was like, whenever you're ready, just say stop. And he goes, stop. I go right there and I slap it onto my leg through my pants. And then leaving this thing in place, I pull my pant leg up. Actually, I can show you this. It's ridiculous. I pull my pant leg up. And then if you look closely, there is...
You're a sick man, Nick K.
There is no hair where the slap band was.
Nice.
And so using a timing force and a slap bracelet, I had an X-Acto knife backstage and I was just trimming my leg hair.
Weirdo.
With you. Okay. But tell me that's not genius.
It is genius, actually.
And then the last effect, which was a really, really great idea from Josh, was, you know, have you ever, like, the premise was kind of like, have you ever seen someone from across the room with like a hair hanging out their nose just wishing you could cut it? Well, this is an amazing piece of technology in which you can actually do that, and we'll show you how it's done. So we had somebody hold a piece of paper, and they're holding a piece of paper, right? And they fold it up, it goes in their hand. And then we took the stick from the Magnum and we held it in front of their face. And we sort of did this. I want you to imagine that this whole thing is complete, like right about here. And I want you to imagine what flavor this would be on the stick. Can you see a flavor? And they go, yes, I can see a flavor. That's the hint, the method there. You can see a flavor. Wonderful. And then that went away and it was like, you have a flavor in mind? Terrific. Watch close. And then we're just snapping like from afar like this, you know, like snap, 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 snap. Anyway, they go, like, what flavor did you see in your mind? He goes, Oreo. And I go, wonderful. Open the piece of paper. He opens a piece of paper and all these bits fall out of it. And carved into that piece of paper is spelt Oreo.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. And this is stuff we're making up on the spot. Let me be clear about that.
That's like the hardest thing to do really in magic is create effect. You know, especially when you started this story, I thought it'd be like magic props in a box. But when you start taking totally rando,
you see that
that's how you end up in the dressing room, shaving your leg with an X-Acto knife, you know, to get that mind freak moment. Made me think of Nate Kranzo's Moving Tan Line. You ever see this trick where Nate takes
a great trick?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why more magicians don't do it when they go on vacation and just wear their watch a bit higher. Like, it's such a funny idea. But it's just one of those creative things that it's so difficult to do. We've done magic routines where we've had to, like, break out in a song. Or, you know, like, there was one time I had to do a magic trick to singing to Hallelujah.
Was it, like, was it when you were in a band? Is that when it happened?
Oh, that's a good call. I did used to be in a band. Was it?
Thought you might have.
But so, and I don't remember the lyrics because I made it up on the spot. But I did this whole bit where instead of saying like, Hallelujah, I was like, I'm going to fool ya. I'm going to fool ya. And I did this whole thing where like a card ended up in my sock or whatever I made up on the spot. But it was just one of those things that like, It's so crazy to be open to that, but there's a lot of beauty in it. Like our good friend Dom Chambers, who's performed in AGT and done, you know, Broadway shows and so forth, and has an amazing fringe show which I implore you, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the craziest bits of magic you've ever seen. There's routines that were born out of that, like born out of doing the magic sports. And so it
sounds like, have you seen this Wizard Wars? This was on television. Yeah. Like they stole Tim's idea and made a show out of it.
Yeah, I don't understand why
that show. Does Tim bitch about that? Is he? He's all disgruntled. They stole my idea, put it on.
Tim never says that, which is so upsetting because I see his stuff being stolen all the time, and he never gets bitter about it. He's just always. He's so pure of heart when it comes to magic. In fact, I might invite him on the show if it's cool with you guys. But he's just maybe closer to the Melbourne Magic Festival, because Tim Ellis is not only an amazing magician and the creator of Magic Sports, he's also the director of the Melbourne Magic Festival. So I might ask him to be part of the show leading up to it. But it's a brilliant, brilliant man. And he's just so happy to see his magic ideas propagate forward. And the thing is, I'll talk about things that I'm kind of struggling on, and Tim will just spit out like brilliant ideas. And I would say to him,
am I correct? He's a FISM award-winning magician. Is that correct?
Yeah. So he was the first Australian to take home a FISM. I believe he got second.
Okay.
So but he was the first Australian. The next one was just at the last FISM, in which Simon Coronel ended up taking out the Micro Magic, which we're extremely proud of him for. He's a brilliant, brilliant dude. But Tim is just one of those guys who propagates magic forward in so many facets. Like Tim not only does that, you know, he creates these environments where we can, like the Magicians at Work thing that I made mention quite a few times, where once a month we get together, we go to the art center, we perform for audiences, and they give us feedback on our act. Like Tim mediated all that. He created all that.
That's awesome.
I'm so thankful for it, man, because like I would hate to think of a world with Tim not in it. Like I'm terrified to think of what will happen to the Melbourne magic scene.
Right.
The day he doesn't
exist. It is so important for a locale to have a strong professional with wisdom and willing to share that stuff. It will make or break your magic scene in any given locale. I know across the United States, there's some amazing large metropolises with great magic clubs. And then you go to another place like New Orleans is struggling right now because there isn't someone that's really, you know, not just willing to hold it down, but also reach out to the youth and foster that community and ingratiate, you know, the new blood.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
Absolutely. And look, and for reference, the Laneway Theater is in Tim's home. Like it is.
Interesting. So
Tim has an amazing home, firstly. And anyone who's experienced it, like when you first arrive, it's down a laneway, which is why it's called the Laneway Theater. It's very well hidden. When you find it, it's kind of exciting. You're buzzed in. You walk through a graveyard. It's in his house, but it's a graveyard. And you go through, you walk through a coffin to then enter the theater. And it's amazing.
Is the theater in his house? It's part of the house or separate?
Correct. I mean, you're welcome to look up the Laneway Theater and pop it up on the screen. But effectively what it is this was Tim's rehearsal space. And what had happened was Tim's a big movie buff. And what was happening was one of the local theaters, cinema, movie theaters, was having a makeover and they were getting rid of all the chairs there. So he took it upon himself to get like 50 chairs and then just brought them all to his home. And then he was like, I need some help. I'm like, what do you need, dude? And he's like, I'm putting a theater in my home. And so he built these tiered seats, which you'll be able to see. So that's the graveyard at the very top of the screen for those who are watching on the YouTube. And of course, if you are listening, we'll talk you through it. But he's basically built a tiered seating situation, put in really comfortable high back chairs, which are from the movie theater. So you're super comfy. They got a cup holder and everything. And you can just sit there and enjoy beautiful bits of magic. And that is it. Like that is his, oh, there's me. Yeah, that's his situation there. And so it's a really, really, really beautiful thing to be a part of.
So about 50 seats, you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about it would seem like parking would be a bit cumbersome for this.
No, not at all. I mean, because it's basically almost, it's just out of town. As far as its location within Melbourne, it's a little place called Northcote, and it's effectively suburbia. So there's no restriction to parking. And as well as that, there is a tram line that leads right to his, like to that location. It's like literally stops 10 meters in front of his home. So it's just such a wonderful thing to be a part of, man. Like, it's, and Rebel can attest to it, you know, who was actually there. Like, no one, it's one of those things that should be doing a lot more things than what it is doing, you know? And I feel that if the scene all got behind it and really pushed it, it would be an, like, a must see locate, you know?
I mean, look, there's a show Friday, show Saturday, Wednesday. Yeah. It's, you know, it's, things are happening and, you know, it seems like he keeps it busy.
Absolutely.
This is like, I love seeing places like this. Looks like a beautiful little venue.
Yes,
I mean, I hope to have one of my own one day.
Yeah. Well, hopefully next year we'll have you come down and we'll actually do a show at the Mountain Magic Festival. So what do you think?
Let's go. I'm ready.
Yeah. So outside of that, I don't know if Josh had another more speak pipes or spitballing set up. Do you know?
I don't know. No one keeps me informed of anything except what time to show up.
Well, he's just
that didn't even happen today. It's 5 minutes before the podcast. I'm looking for the link to the shenanigans. I don't even know where to go.
Welcome back, Josh. We just explained all the amazing things happening at the Laneway Theater and what was involved with all the magic sports and some of the things we created and how I had to shave my legs to do something to create a wonderful piece of magic. But
I had a question about that coat. Is that a standard bit in someone's show, the adult-sized magician as, or that was all just winging it?
You know what? I've never asked him where it actually came from, but it's enormous. Like, it's huge. And
right.
And so what it splits at the back. So the front of it's all sealed in. The back is all split. So once you go in with your arms by your side, then somebody puts their arms around you and goes through the actual sleeves. And then people do their bits. Like, here's one of the funniest things, right? So check this out. There's a routine where I have to like go outside and then the audience make up a trick. And the audience says this. They were like, okay, there's a potato. All right. It levitates and then turns into a duck and quacks. And then I sit down in the chair with LJ behind me and he has to, with his hands, try and explain that to me. And I'm trying to figure out what he's saying. And the weird thing was, this is what LJ kept saying for potato. He kept reaching towards Tim's chest and doing this. And I was like, you take a human heart. And I'm like, what the? And this was his pantomime for like
potato.
A potato. And I'm like, I can't understand that. If you make a ball and then wiggle your fingers back and forth, that doesn't look like a potato to me. You should have just pointed to my head. That looks like a potato. This, not this. So
that's a hard one. Potato.
Yeah. Yeah. But I got it in the end. It was quite hard to get there. But like, Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then I had to do this. Like, and then I had to do it to Josh and I was trying to explain to him like what a saucepan was. And, you know, he's a young kid who probably doesn't cook. And I couldn't, like, I'm like, saucepan, man, like pan. And it was like ladle, spoon. I'm like, no, I'm pointing to the pan. Like, it was hilarious. So it's
good times.
Yeah. Is there any more speak pipes in there, Josh?
I think that's it for us. Matthew Mosley, thank you. He did send in one as a joke. It didn't really come through in the audio well enough to really play. So I might leave that one so we can save it for another week. But that's all our speak pipes this week. But on the magic sports, like, that's a kind of funny thing that could be done, you know, at a live Magic Guys viewing one day. But maybe we just do a different variation where it's, because it's magicians watching magicians, we can really, you know, do Triumph with linking rings. Or, you know, I don't know, just come up with stupid stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. And also, if you had to shave your legs, how did it feel to like consciously shave an area that like you don't need to, like that has hair, but you have to purposefully shave it off as opposed to us?
Yeah. So the most difficult
these are the hot topics our listeners really want.
Exactly.
Well, I had to do it this with an exacto knife. So I had an exacto knife because whenever you're doing these shows, like you bring so many props. I got a suitcase and I filled it with everything, like everything. You know, because you don't want to just get up there and do like 50 different variations of card tricks. You want to do stuff with like bits of fruit or this or that. And, you know, and so I was like, okay, so got to make sure I have double stick tape, got to have an exacto knife, got to have scissors, got to have, you know, whatever I can, got to have thumb tips, got to have sponge, got to have like, you name it, because you never know what's going to happen when it comes time to create, you know. True. Like, speaking of like the make a trick, No joke. One time, a guy donated his prosthetic leg.
That's a winner.
Like, how's that for an object? Winner. You want to try create a trick with a prosthetic leg?
Have you seen Chris Korn's recent act? Oh, man.
I'm going to have to check it out.
So what we did
I don't want to ruin it for anyone who sees it. I'm not going to talk. But he can use that leg.
Yeah. Oh,
By the way, I know the deadline for because we're all magicians here, the deadline for auditioning for Penn & Teller's Fool Us is in, I think it's in the US in 2 days' time. Did you guys, any of you guys submit something? Or anyone in the chat submit something? So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to submit a video today.
Ooh, Josh, go.
And I just want to start the journey here by just saying that, and we'll see what happens. But I don't know why you guys aren't. I mean, why wouldn't you? Doug, you're in the US, or it just doesn't interest you.
It's some kind of weird procrastination syndrome that prohibits me from getting anything done. There's my excuse.
And Nick, who has lots of creative substance in his veins, who just spoke with Brian Saint, who bloody is a direct line.
Nick, you should already have a trophy, Nick Kay. What the? You have no excuse.
That's really kind of you to say, friends. But I think it's, you know, the difficulty being myself and performing as often as I do is that I don't allow myself enough time to create. You know, like, I'm so envious of everyone being able to have the time to play with cameras more and do things like that. But it's not only just for myself. I'm managing dozens and dozens of magicians.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know. You're a busy guy.
Truth be told, I did consider a submission for this show, and I set about filming it at a magic convention and was unhappy with my performance and did not submit the footage. I think submitting a live performance of an effect is ups your chance of being selected.
Perhaps. They you know, they literally just want footage of it to see from a producer's point of view.
That's for an audience, and that's kind of what I put my mind to it, and I only took one shot at this when I put my mind to it, and I
you know what, so,
but you know,
I'll do it. I actually remember that I do have a video somewhere.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about.
I have a...
Yeah, if the three of us do it, it ups our chances to one of us representing the magic guys on the show. That's what I'm talking about.
Will you shoot me the details?
Some other deadline must-do item in the next 2 days. When is it?
Doug,
the
11th? Doug, you could literally, on this stream, do an audition and cut that clip and send it to them, and it would literally be submitted.
You know, actually, I thought it would be that easy, and I phoned it in last year, and they were like, they got back to me like this. Yeah, you can't phone it in. You know, so I sent them a TikTok, and they're like, yeah, we're not really looking for TikToks. We need 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, gotcha.
And this is where it led me to be like, oh, I need to film this for a live audience and take my time with it.
Yeah. Have you guys... You guys probably haven't seen my coin to glass stuff.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it with I've seen it. It's good stuff.
Well, since you've seen it, Josh, the amount of improvements and ridiculousness that goes into achieving that effect now is insane. It's really
just go in with that Cheetos routine, whatever the hell you were doing in that magic sports. Go with that.
That'd be great. I could just put Teller's arms through this stupid jacket and have him do everything. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Start shoving Cheetos in his face.
Yeah.
You know what? That actually doesn't sound so bad. Okay. So you heard it here first. Nick is going to submit something. That's all I wanted to hear. Was the commitment. There's no trying.
Do or do not.
It's just doing. Good stuff. Anyway, I'm going to submit something. Could lead to nothing, but it will definitely lead to nothing if I do nothing. And Alex the Magician, the great female artist that we had on our show 2 years ago, just her appearance just aired like this week. So that was very cool to see a full circle moment.
It's so cool to see anything aside from, you know, a middle-aged white man doing magic, you know, in general. Let's go.
True dad.
We've held the ruse long enough. A bunch of old ornery cusses, most of you.
And now...
You know who's developing a cool thing is Danny Orleans' daughter, Leah Orleans. She's Tiny Girl Big Show. She's building the Mystique Magic Festival, which will embrace female magic artists and other artists of, open-minded frames of mind. How do I say that? You know, I'm talking about LGBT and, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I love that, man.
Like, yeah, it's like this. There, we're out here. Let's embrace it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Leah Orleans Mystique Magic Conference coming soon to Vegas.
Yeah. You know, like, you know, one of my personal favorite female performers would be Carissa Hendricks, who does Lucy Darling.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Lucy Darling was born at the Melbourne Magic Festival.
And I've seen her in the advertisement for this Mystique conference, so I'm sure she'll be there.
Actually,
she's a superstar, dude. Like,
I'm going to write that down. She should be on this show for sure.
We should ask her to be part of the show. If nothing but just to inspire more folks to get into magic, like, she is brilliant. And the amount of work she went into even developing her character and even her accent that she performs in, it's the best. It's the best thing ever. And I love it because she would come back every year to perform at the Melbourne Magic Festival, but to the point now where she's so enormous that she's not even able to fit that in her schedule. But what I love is that, like, we'll be performing at the gala in which everyone does like a few minute spots. And then she will go, "I'm 3 years old today." Because that's when, like, today's my birthday.
Ah, that's awesome.
She's like, "Today's my birthday." And I was like, I love that because she literally gave birth to Lucy Darling, like, at the Melbourne Magic Festival.
Yeah.
And that's just
there's a great full show of hers performing at the Chicago Magic Lounge, the Improv Magic Lounge or something like that. Is that what it's called?
Oh, it's on the social?
I remember watching it on YouTube. Amazing. Yeah. Like, go watch it. The character development in that is just insane, especially when you see footage of her out of character to realize how much character she's actually.
Reportedly, her penguin lecture is a highlight and discusses character development in depth if you're into these things.
That's it. I think it won an award for one of the lectures of the year or something with Penguin. Amazing. Look, guys, we're out of time. I can't bloody believe it. But we're going to leave you the final word with Nick today. Also, we have a new piece of merch coming soon that's in development, but we just want to tease that a little bit. Now that this podcast is 3.5 years old, we've got a bit of history we can add into the detailing of stuff we bring out now and keep track of that. But anyway, thank you for watching, and Nick's got something else to say first.
Also, the Discord, we'll pop over there. I'll be on there for about a half hour or so if you guys want to pop over and say, "Hey, come and kick out for a little bit. We have some stories that I couldn't mention on air." So come over and say hi where it's not recorded.
Heck yeah.
So in the spirit of what's been happening with all the creativity that I've been experiencing in the past week doing the magic sports, it's the best lesson I learned from that, friends, is to stay humble and not be afraid to fail. Not every game that we play in the sports, magic sports game, is something you're going to absolutely crush. And it's a wonderful thing because some people are so afraid to even try that they fail before even giving themselves permission. So my advice heading out this week is try it. Don't be afraid to fail. And the more times you fail, the closer you get to being awesome. So stay awesome, do magic because you love it, and do it because you want to see folks smile. And that is my final word.
Thanks for listening. It's time for us to disappear now.
Disappear now.
But we'll see you again on the next episode of The Magic Guys.